Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning? Turn with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you don't have your Bible, somebody beside you has one. Just scooch up to them and have a look. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to read a number of verses, but I want to read the bottom part before I go back and read the beginning part. I want to read the bottom half of verse 10, 10b. It says this: if you do these things, you will never fall away. Let me say it again. If you do these things, you will never fall away. Go back up to verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him, who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desire. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. And to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if any of you does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sin. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall away, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a good word? Would you bow with me this morning for a word of prayer, Father? I do want to say thank you for your word. And I thank you that in spite of all the enemy has done down through time in order to destroy it, in order to pervert it, in order to remove it, in order to discredit it, I want to thank you. You have kept your word. It is inerrant and it is inspired as much today as the moment you breathed it into the hearts of your servants who captured it and wrote it down. Father, this morning before we begin, I ask for a fresh anointing. I ask you to take literal possession of my mind and my mouth. I only want to say those things that I hear you say and do what I see you do. And with the authority you have given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert the word that is going to be sown. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. And Father, I want to say thank you again that you are speaking in these days directly into the hearts and minds of your children. They are hearing you, they know it's you, and they are being obedient to that word. I want to say thank you today. You're going to be saying things in here that are not going to come out of my mouth, but your children are going to hear it. And they will know it's you speaking. And they will capture that word and be obedient to it. Father, we believe a single word from you can change everything. And so I thank you today for the promise that when your word goes forth, it will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. I thank you, you have prepared every heart and every mind for what is going to be sown here today. And by faith, we say thank you in advance for what is going to happen. In the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody in agreement said, amen. Last fall, we began a series of messages that the Lord had been laying on my heart for some time. And the title of it is How to Never Fall Away. I shared with you a number of messages laying a foundation of where we were going to build on over time. 2 weeks ago, I shared with you a message that reawakened the whole series and where we're going to be going in the next number of weeks. How many of you were here 2 weeks ago for that message? How many of you were here 2 weeks? Great, all 12 of you. That's awesome. Where were the rest of you? Let's take a half hour and figure that out, shall we? No, we won't worry about that part. I want to encourage, if you weren't here a couple weeks ago, I want to encourage you to go online and listen to that message. In fact, if you didn't hear the series back last fall again, the number of messages, even if you did hear them, I want to encourage you to go online and listen to them again just to lay a foundation of where we're going. Can I ask you, how many of you throughout the week, and I want to say this clearly, I hope the only message and teaching you're getting in your life is not on Sunday morning. I hope it's not. How many of you during the week are listening to messages, podcasts, television shows? You're getting the word in a pile of different places. How many of you? Awesome. And in these days, I encourage you to keep it up. Just keep feeding your spirit, man. There are amazing teachers out there. And so just keep doing that. But I want to encourage you, go back when you have time, listen to those messages in this series, How Not to Fall Away, and it will help you with where we're going. This morning, I want to give you a picture that the Lord has given me. And I got to tell you before I begin, I have never preached on what we're going to be talking about in these next number of weeks. I have never felt so impressed of the Lord to be preaching in such a way as to equip people for the reality that falling away is a possibility, and how in our life to go, never, God has made a way for us never to fall away. And I want to tell you again, we are living in a world, it's in this community, it's in our family, it's with people you know that I know, it is all across. People are falling away left and right, walking away from their faith, moving into the world in sin, all around us. But I remember when the Lord said to me, Call, even if everybody else divorces because of me, you and Jane don't need to divorce. And when he said, even if everybody else falls away in this world, and they not all will, he goes, that doesn't mean you have to. I have made a way for my children not to fall away, even in the midst of the great deception, even in the midst of the great apostasy, even in the midst of what's going on in a pile of the church. He's going, I have made a way to not fall away. And so I need to finish this series. I need to share with you what God's laid in my heart. And I am praying and believing that every heart and every mind is prepared and open for what I'm going to lay on you today and what I'm going to share with you the next number of weeks. I need to share with you a picture, and I have prayed about this and asked the Lord. I got to share a picture that I believe the Holy Spirit is going to use inside of you to plant an incredibly tangible picture of what we're going to be talking about. In fact, I want to tell you, when I share this picture, every one of us as believers are going to be represented somewhere on that picture. In fact, every believer on the globe is going to be presented on that picture somewhere. I want to tell you, I'm not going to ask you where you are on that picture. I'm not going to ask you. But as I'm sharing this, the Holy Spirit is going to begin revealing to you where you are in this whole thing. To begin with, I would like you to turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 13. And I'm going to be sharing a number of scriptures. I encourage you to write them down on your notes. Matthew 13, a very familiar parable that Jesus told when he was here on earth. The parable, we know it as the sower and the seed. How many of you are familiar with that parable, sower and the seed? Most all of us are. And I want to encourage you, not just to write the passage. I'm going to be giving you a number of things. I'm going to draw a picture this morning. I want to encourage you to write it down on your notes. And can I just say this again? Even if you throw it away at the end of the message when you walk out the door, you will retain at least 15% of what I'm going to share with you this morning just by writing it down, as compared to 3% if you don't. And then I want to say, I encourage you, and I know some of you, I'm hearing more and more of you, who are taking those notes home. You are going through the scripture and you're going over it again. Just by doing that one time, you knock it up to 30%. And I want to say, in these days, there are some of you that are incredibly hungry, that you are doing things that are moving it up to 80 to 90% of what you are hearing, you are planting it and it is staying with you. Some of you are doing that. That is incredible maturity. But I want you just to write down Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to 23. Just write that down. You can look it up later. The parable that Jesus told, and you know it, is this. A farmer went out to sow. And as he sowed his seed, some fell on the hard path, some was on rocky ground, some was in thorny soil, some was on good soil. Almost all of us are familiar with that parable. And after Jesus had told it, his disciples, they went to him and they said, Jesus, how come you always speak in parables to your people? And Jesus answered the question, but really what the disciples were saying is, Jesus, could you tell us what this parable means? Because we don't know. In fact, like most parables, we don't know what you're talking about. You need to explain it to us. And so what did Jesus say? The second part of that in chapter 13 is his explanation, and he said this. He said, the seed is what? What's the seed? The Word of God. The farmer is the one who goes, takes the Word of God, shares the Word of God, and spreads it around. And he said, some of the seed falls on hard path. And I want you to understand the condition of every place where the seed falls is really the heart condition or the soil of a person's life. I want to tell you clearly, even in church on a Sunday, there are some hearts that are sitting in the pew that are absolutely hard and get virtually nothing out of what is shared. Wouldn't matter what church they go to, that's just the condition. Every one of these represents a condition of hearts, but the first one is this, the seed falls on the hard path. He said the word is spoken to a person and that person, they don't understand it. They don't get it. It makes no sense to them. And they're counting tiles on the ceiling going, when is Pastor Call going to be done? I've been there. You've been there. And when that seed is sown, and because they don't understand it, what Jesus said is this. He said, the enemy comes, that is the bird, the enemy comes, snatches it away. And that person, even though they're under the teaching and the Word of God, they remain in the unbelieving position. I got to tell you, just so you know, at the beginning of most of the messages, and you will have heard me today when I am praying, you have heard me say, with the authority that you have given me, in the name of Jesus, I command every demonic bird to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. How many of you heard me pray that this morning? How many of you heard it? Yeah. I will tell you, there is spiritual warfare that surrounds the word being sown and the word being captured. There is piles of warfare. I'll just tell you straight up, and you know it, every power of hell wants you to make sure you don't grasp what you're hearing this morning. You don't grasp what you're hearing when you turn a podcast or a message on. You don't grasp it when you read your Bible and you put in your 3 minutes and close it up and you go to bed and the Lord says, what'd you read? And you go, I have no idea. I'm so tired. Every power of hell wants to make sure you don't grasp it. I have to tell you, and you've heard me share this with you before because this impacted and changed my life. A number of years ago, many years ago, when we were still meeting in the CRE, there was a young family that was coming to our church. They'd been coming for a couple of years. They had two daughters. He was a truck driver. And one Sunday, and I hadn't done this before, but one Sunday I just felt led of the Lord to take authority over the demonic birds in the church. And so I prayed that out, and I spoke that with authority. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command every demonic bird to release every person and be outside the CRE in Jesus' name. And then I preached the message. At the end of the service, I was standing in line, and the people coming through the line, and this family came through, and this guy was a fairly big guy, fairly trucker guy. He comes up to me, he gives me a hug, and he said, Pastor Call, He goes, today was the first time I have ever heard you preach. And I said, what do you mean? I said, you guys have been coming for a couple years. He goes, I have to tell you, he said, every other Sunday when I've been in church and you began speaking, he goes, something just closes off and my mind begins to go all over the place. He goes, and I don't even hear a word you're saying. He goes, today was the first time I have ever heard. He said, when you prayed and took authority over those demonic birds, he said, something opened up inside of me and I could hear you. I got to tell you, as a pastor, you don't have to hear that twice. I recognized really clearly the spiritual warfare going on every Sunday, every time I do a service, every time I go to a conference, every time I do a funeral or wedding. I recognize the spiritual warfare surrounding between what I'm going to share and what that person hears and all the demonic stuff that goes on in between, where people go, you're talking, call, but I don't hear you. Does that seem dumb to you? Or do you go, I understand in the spiritual realm how that works? I got to tell you, every Sunday since that time, almost every Sunday since that time, before I begin preaching, doesn't matter where I am. I don't care if it's India, Africa, I don't care where it is. I take authority in Jesus' name over those demonic birds. Because I recognize the enemy doesn't want us to hear. Jesus carried on. After he talks about the hard path in verse 20, he said this. He said, the one who received the seed that fell on the rocky place is the man who hears the word, and at once he receives it with joy. Now, I want you to hear this. This is a person, and catch this, this is a person, there was no resistance. This is a person, they heard it, they literally were able to hear it, they believed it, it excited them. In fact, Jesus said, they received that word with joy. I don't want you to raise your hand, I don't want you to say it out loud. How many of you, during the week when you hear a message, on Sunday when you hear a message, how many of you, when you walk away from that, you just go, I received that with joy. I am full of joy with what was just sown into my heart today. Don't raise your hand. I don't want a report card. But I had to stop and ask the Lord, how about me? And I just asked him and I said, God, you got to bring me to a place when I open up your word, when I hear a message, when there's, I want to receive that with joy. Well, Jesus said this person received it with joy, not just passively, and that was good. But look what happens. Verse 21. Since he has no root, he lasts only a short period of time. I want to say this really carefully. There are people who come to church every Sunday who hear the message and they do hear it and they receive that word and they even come up and go, Pastor Call, that was awesome. Boy, that blessed me. Boy, that was just in line with what God was speaking to me. They walk out the door and because there's no root, it doesn't last. Now, I'm not going to do this to you. I won't. I'm not going to do it to anybody. But can you imagine for a moment if this afternoon at 6 o'clock, right before supper time, I phoned you and I said, hi, Pastor Colin here. Hi, Pastor Call, what's up? I said, what are you making for supper? I'm coming over. No, that's not what I would say. But I would ask the question, I say, do you have a minute? They go, yeah, I got a minute, Pastor Call. And I go, could you just really quickly tell me what I preached on this morning in church? I don't want to ask you how many of you would be just totally open at 6 o'clock for me to phone and ask you that. And you go, I'm ready. I got it in me. Not only did I take notes, but when I got home, I went over them again. And I've listened to it. When it comes online, 6 o'clock, no problem, no problem. Can I tell you again, what Jesus said is, there are people who hear and they're excited, they're in church, they even got their hands up in worship, but there is no, not much root. And because of that, Jesus said this, it doesn't last very long. In fact, this is what it says, in their life, when trouble and persecution come because of the word, here's Jesus' words, they quickly fall away. I just want to say this to you really clearly. There are some in the church now who go, if you've been baptized, once you've been baptized as an infant, doesn't matter how you live your life, the moment you're baptized, you have your permanent certificate for heaven and you're going to heaven. How many of you have been to funerals like that? Baptism is your ticket. I've been to funerals like that. How many of you had heard, and there are some who go, you know, the moment you pray to receive Christ in your life, and you may have done it at 3 or 5 or 17 or 30, the moment you receive Christ in your life, you have a permanent ticket to heaven. It doesn't matter what you do later. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what you change. It doesn't matter how you live. Because you prayed that prayer, you're going to heaven. It's guaranteed. How many of you have heard that teaching in theology? It's out there. Can I say to you, if that was true, then Jesus lied. He said there are people out there, they hear the word, they hear it, they believe it, they receive it with joy, they put it inside of them, and over a short period of time, because of all this other stuff, they fall away. Can I tell you, if you're standing on the ground, you can't fall away. But if you are lifted up here to a new place, you have the ability to fall. Jesus said, because they don't have much root, when trouble comes, when persecution comes, they fall away. I don't want you to say it out loud, but I got to ask you a question. How many people do you know? They got saved, they were excited about their faith, they were in the church, they were growing in their walk, and within a short period of time, things began to change and they slowly began to fade. Pretty soon they weren't around very much. Struggles began coming, and pretty soon the Lord wasn't even a part of their life. Every one of us knows people like that. I want to tell you what you already know, and I was shocked when I heard this a number of years ago. Billy Graham, raise your hand if you've known him, heard him. Billy Graham, if you haven't, you're dead. Everybody knows Billy Graham. I remember hearing, and we were a part of Billy Graham Crusade when Ralph Bell came to cameras here and the whole preparation. I remember hearing about Billy Graham. They tracked the people who at a Billy Graham conference came to the front and received Christ. Do you know that Jesse Duplantis was saved by watching Billy Graham on TV? After one of his drug-induced alcohol concert night, smashed whatever else, went into his room, flipped the TV on, was too tired to change the channel, and Billy Graham was on. It's kind of how God does it. He catches you by surprise. And Billy and Jesse Duplantis, he's laying in bed, he's getting ready to go to bed, he's so tired, he's all high and whatever. Billy Graham was speaking and he said, it was like all of a sudden I became instantly sober, and he says, I heard words, and he says, they changed my life. And Jesse Duplantis got saved that night and his whole world changed. But here's what Billy Graham says, the organization says. They track every person at a meeting. Well, how many of you have been to a Billy Graham crusade? How many of you have been there? Yeah, I went there as a teenager, got on the bus in Westlock, and we went to Edmonton, and it was pretty amazing. They record and track every person who goes to the front to receive Christ at a Billy Graham crusade. They write them down. The churches that are a part of the crusade, what they do afterwards, I mean, they take the person, they take them, they give them a package of material for a brand new believer, they give those cards to churches in the area, they ask those churches to follow up with a new believer so that they can get involved in a church and they can become part of it. This is their stat, and you know this, 2 years. 2 years after a Billy Graham crusade, the people who go to the front of that crusade, 2 years, how many people are still walking with the Lord after 2 years? What percentage? 4. In 2 years, 96% of people who walked to the front in that moment prayed. They heard the message. They came to the front. They prayed to receive Christ. They put him inside with joy. In 2 years, 96 out of 100 are no longer walking with the Lord. Does that shock you or sadden you? What did Jesus say? They had no root. They didn't grow. They didn't mature. They didn't get watered. They weren't supported and surrounded. And when trouble and persecution came, and let me ask you, when you get saved, how many of you did all your troubles just stop? Just raise your hand, would you? When you got saved, they just stopped. No more. Raise your hand. Do troubles come? You bet they do. In our country, we can't say a lot of persecution. I don't know that many of us have ever been persecuted for our faith. Some of us, well, we may have shared with somebody and they got mad at us. That's about the extent of the persecution that we've experienced in this country. But Jesus said, when trouble and persecution comes, and let me just tell you, the storms come, and they're going to come, the winds blow, and they're going to blow, they're going to beat against the house. But when there's no root, Jesus said, here's his words, they fall away. How many do we know that have experienced that today? The third group is this. Those who receive the seed, again, no resistance, no unbelief, no hardness of heart, no snatching away by the demonic birds. They heard it, they received it, but what happened? And I want to be careful when I say this, because this represents a pile of people in the church. It says this, the worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the occupation with building worldly kingdom. So busy with the temporal, they lose sight of the eternal. And notice this, it says, all of that are thorns that come and choke out the plant that is growing. They choke it out. It makes it unfruitful. He doesn't say they fall away, but they come to a point where they're bearing no fruit. This group never matures. They never become fruit-bearing. There is no harvest in their life. And as Peter says, they remain ineffective and unproductive. Can I just ask you, do you know any ineffective and unproductive people in the church? Don't raise your hand. How many do you know the Lord? They're Christian. They believe. But when you look at their life and when you look at the tree of their life, you look and go, I don't see any fruit. You go, I don't see any power outside of just the natural power of going through the daily. I don't see anything super. I just see natural. You look at them and you go, I don't see effectiveness in their spiritual walk. I'm looking at them. I'm looking what surrounds them. I'm looking at their world. I don't see it. They are like the fig tree that Jesus went looking for figs that one day, and there were no figs on it. Do you remember that story? Why? Let me give you the answer. Life. Busy. Worried. Stress. Doing my own thing. And it all choked it out. There was some root, but not enough to bear fruit. And let me tell you, if the enemy can't stop a person from getting saved, if he can keep them unfruitful and ineffective, he's got them. Do you know why? Because then they don't multiply. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in a church where nobody multiplied in the church? It's the enemy's goal. And how many in the body of Christ are in that category today? The fourth group we all know about. They're the ones who received the word. It fell on good soil. These are the ones that hear it and they understand it. The seed gets in. It goes deep. The roots are formed. It goes down. And as a result, what happens? 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold, they produce fruit. I want to draw you a picture that we're going to be looking at for the next several weeks. And if you can't see it, I'll leave it on the board so that you can have a look at it after. But I'm going to try with my... I have a great gift of drawing. Did you know that? It's about as strong as my gift of writing. Did you know that? For those of you who pray, God, what's he putting on the board? I want to just show you, first of all, this is the soil. Here is my picture of a bird with a beak. Here is seed that is sown. And this is the first where he comes and takes the seed, goes away, and this person is left in unbelief. This is the picture of the seed that is sown. It's received with joy, and there is a little bit of root that goes down, but troubles come, persecution come, and this is the group that falls away. The root is so not much at all, it just falls away. I want to put these on the screen. Linda, if you could shoot them up there, these four categories, because I'd like you to write them down. This is the third group over here. Oh no, that's a little bit later, but we'll get to that. Sorry, Linda, that was my issue. This one over here is the thorns. The seeds are sown, and the root actually goes a little bit deeper in that person's life, but this tree that grows, there is a tree, but if you look on it, there is zero fruit. The thorns quench it to the point where they just live their life. They're Christian. They're waiting for the cruise ship, the rapture, but there is no fruit. We're not even going to get into what Jesus talked about in John 15, where if he's the vine, the branches, if there's no fruit on the branch, what Jesus does in order to produce fruit. We're not even going to get there. Here's the last one where the seed is sown and there is a root that goes deep. And as a result of that, this tree, you look at it and 30, 60, 100-fold, all kinds of fruit on the tree. I want to draw a picture that we're going to be using all. Series. I want you to understand that what Jesus teaches in Scripture is when there is little root, there is little faith. When there is little root, there is little faith. When there is little root, and I want to ask you, when this is there, how many of you have ever picked out a thistle out of the ground? Thistle? How many of you pick more than one thistle? How many of you believe they come from hell? They do. You know the interesting thing about a thistle? A thistle has a root that it goes down a little ways, but it is totally straight. And if you get it with the right soil, you can take it and pull that whole sucker out. Right? You know what it doesn't have? It doesn't have a whole bunch of things that go off on the side that makes it when you pull it, that it holds in the ground like asbestos. It doesn't have that. But here's the deal. When there is little root, it's not hard to pull out. When there is a little more root, it's a little more difficult to pull out. These can remain there, but he's saying this group, the thorns, they choke it out, so there's no fruit. He goes over here, these are the ones that understand the word, that word goes in, and the root is deep, and as a result of that, it begins to produce fruit on the tree. That is what he's talking about. But I want you to think about this, and this is what we're going to do. In 1 Peter, Peter says this, he goes, the root in your life is faith. I'm going to make a statement a little bit later, and some of you are going to struggle with this until you understand it, but I'm going to tell you this morning what Scripture says, can I tell you, faith is not enough to not fall away. Faith is not enough to not fall away. In fact, Peter says this, to never fall away, we need to add to our faith, and then he gives us seven things that we need to add to our faith, and he goes, if you add these to your faith, he goes, then you do these things, you will never fall away. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to show you, there are a pile of people who have faith, even strong, deep faith, who have fallen away. Because faith isn't enough. Over these next number of weeks, we're going to be talking about what it is that Scripture says we need to add to our faith in order to not fall. It begins with a root because we know without faith it's impossible to please God. There is no relationship with God apart from faith. But it's not enough. I want to ask you to, as we talk this morning, I just want to ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to ask you a question and say, what is the condition of your root? Where is your root? I want to very quickly give it to you because of time. I need to get to something else yet, but because of time, I want to give these to you really quickly. Would you write down four things the Bible talks about? Conditions of faith, conditions of root. This is Linda. This, now I'm with you. Four things. Would you write down number one? First condition, and it is no faith. No faith or lack of faith. In Mark chapter 6, and you know this, Jesus went back to his hometown and he made this statement. He says, I was not able to do any miracles in my own hometown. Why? He said, I am amazed at their lack of faith. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you think there's a correlation between faith and miracles? Why could he do no miracles? Let me just say it really clearly. There is a correlation between faith and answered prayer, between faith and fruit, between faith and effectiveness, between faith and victory. Even Jesus couldn't do any miracles in that place because of their lack of faith. Would you write down number two? Second, little faith. There are those who have a lack, there are those who have little. Mark chapter 16, do you remember the disciples? They were going across the lake and Jesus had just fed 5,000 and the disciples realized, whoa, we forgot to bring the food. And they're talking about, oh no, what are we going to do? We're going to be hungry. Here's the cool thing. Jesus didn't hear them, but Jesus goes, I knew what they were talking about. I love this part of Scripture. I love it where somebody's talking over there and the Bible says Jesus knew what they were thinking. That scares the hell out of some people. For other people, it's like, that's great. I love the fact that he knows everything that goes through my mind. I want nothing hidden from him. And there's other people going, I don't want him or anybody else to know what goes on in my mind. Jesus in the boat, his disciples are talking about the lack of food and they're all upset about it. And he looks at them and he makes this statement. He goes, oh, you guys of little faith. I just have to tell you this really, really clearly. There is a great test to find out if somebody has a religious spirit inside of them. When something happens in their life, when they're praying or believing for something and it doesn't happen, and I'll just use healing, they're prayed for and they don't get healed. And so somebody looks at them and says, and they go, why am I not getting healed? And somebody says, can I say this carefully? Because you don't have enough faith. You know there's a religious spirit when that person goes, what do you mean I don't have enough faith? It's God's job to heal me. If he chooses to heal me, I'll be healed. And if I don't get healed, it's because of him. It's got nothing to do with me. The religious spirit takes no responsibility. Can I tell you, when you have a relationship with the Lord, and I have heard the Lord say this to me over and over and over, something happens, I'm praying about something, I'm looking for a miracle, it doesn't happen, and I go, Lord, what's happening? He goes, Carl, you don't have enough faith. I go, you're right. I don't. Grow me. Change me. Increase my faith. I just encourage you to try this with some people and just go, you don't have enough faith, and just watch what they do. How many of you are open to try that with me? None of you. I'll tell you, the religious spirit will come at you with venom. But the relational spirit will go, you're right. Would you join your faith with mine? Can we agree together? I need people who can believe for me because I'm struggling believing right now. And God, would you grow me and change me and bring my faith to a place tomorrow where it's not today? Would you write down number three? Write down number three and just write down your faith. Your faith. Just for the sake of lack of time, Luke chapter 8, the beautiful account of the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. She presses through, touches his garment. We know that. That is my favorite episode in the whole Chosen series, where Jairus and the woman of faith, that whole thing right there. She presses in, touches the garment, and the moment she does, the issue of blood is stopped. And Jesus gets down, looks at her, and says, daughter, what? Your faith has made you whole. And then would you look at number four? And would you write down great faith? The centurion, we know it. Servant was sick. He sends a servant to Jesus and said, would you heal? My servant is sick. Would you heal? And Jesus says, take me with you, I'll go. And the centurion says, no. I am not worthy to have you come into my house. Right where you are, you speak a word, my servant over there will be healed. You speak here, they'll be healed there. I'm under authority, I have authority over people. Just say it. Jesus, just say it and it'll be done. Jesus turns around and goes, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. Great faith. Every one of us are somewhere in that list. Every person is somewhere. There are those who lack faith and they experience the fruit of it. There are those who have little faith. There are those who have your faith based on my faith. God's going, because of your faith, this is happening. And then great faith. But I got to ask you a question. Is great faith enough to keep one from falling? For the sake of time, would you turn with me to Hebrews 16? And then I'm going to end right away. I'm not going to get into the larger part that I was going to today. Hebrews chapter 6. I want to read this for you. Hebrews chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age. Verse 6, if they what? If they fall away. It is impossible for them to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they're crucifying the Son of God all over again. Can I ask you a question? If we describe someone as being enlightened, someone as being tasted the heavenly gift, someone who shared in the Holy Spirit, someone who tasted the goodness of the Word of God, someone who walked in the power of the coming age, would you say to me that was a person of great faith? I could stand here all day long and go over name after name after name of people who have walked in great faith, people whose roots were deep, who are no longer walking with the Lord today. One last question, one last thing. Would you turn really quickly to James chapter 2? James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14 says this, "What good is it, my brethren, if a man claims to have faith, but there is no what? No deeds. Can such faith save him?" If someone claims to have faith, but there is no fruit, there are no deeds, there is no evidence, can that faith save him? I want to tell you where I was going to go, and because of time, I'm not going to go because I don't want to rush through it. Next week, I'm going to take and I'm going to share with you the process of the demonic that moves a person from faith to falling away. As we go through this, you are going to recognize couple things. Number one, you're going to recognize people in your world that are somewhere in that process, and you're going to go, oh my goodness, this is where they are. They're already in the process of decline. Some of you, when we go over this, you're going to look at it and go, oh my goodness, I didn't even see that this has happened in my life, and here I am, and I'm already in the process of the falling away. If we can't see it, it's going to happen. If we see it, if we are not ignorant of the enemy's design, if we are aware of it ahead of time, and if we are doing what Scripture says to do, add this to your faith, the issue of falling away doesn't become an issue. And every one of us will be able to say, I will never fall away. It's 10 after 12. How many of you are open to stay till 1? That's what I thought. Yeah, thank you, Arnold. That's awesome. Zach, can I have you come? I do not want to rush through the rest of this. Would you bow with me this morning in a word of prayer? Father, I want to say thank you today again. I want to say thank you that you, at some point in our life, opened up our eyes and our heart. And when the seed that was sown into us of your word by parents or someone else, that seed was received. We took it in and believed it. And you began growing a root in our life of faith that has brought us to where we are today. I want to thank you, Father, in spite of the design of the enemy, in spite of his goal in every one of our lives. I want to say thank you that you are greater. I want to say thank you that you have made a way for us never to wander, to never stray, to never become prodigal, and to never, ever fall away. Father, I want to thank you that by the person of the Spirit in our life, you are growing our faith. You have moved us from lack of faith to a place where we have little faith. And God, you're moving us to a place where Jesus looks and goes, because of your faith, this is happening. And God, you're even bringing us to great faith. Lord, not only do we need it, but the world that we are living in needs your children, needs people who walk with great faith in order to accomplish your will in this place. Father, I pray today that you'd release a grace over this body. Every person under the sound of my voice, you would plant inside of us such a hunger for your word, such a hunger to grow, such a hunger to be moved away from the things of this world and moved into the things of your kingdom, especially in these days, Lord. Father, I pray that you would take our roots deep such that it could not be pulled out, it could not be bent over. It will never fall away. Today, Father, I release a grace over those represented in this place, and we all know them. Lord, those who once walked with you, those who once had a love for you, those who worshiped you, those who are in the Word, those who are living their life, Lord, who are now at a place where you aren't even a part of their life anymore. Father, we're asking that you would do a mighty move in these days in order to wake them up. Bring them to that pig pen experience. Wake them up. Let them see where they're at. And stir inside of their heart for them to come back home, to be forgiven, to be cleaned, and to enter back into that relationship with you again. Father, we are believing for a harvest of prodigals and a harvest of those who have fallen away before you return to come home. And I thank you that as we pray it, and I thank you that as we are faithful to you, you are using us in their lives in order to bring that about. Father, today, there may be some who are hearing and listening here in this place or online who know that they never at any time in their life had prayed to receive you into their life and for you to give them the gift of faith to begin believing. If right now it is a desire of your heart, as an act of your will to place your faith in Jesus, believe in his death and resurrection, if that is the cry of your heart today, I just invite you to repeat after me and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I invite you now to come into my life. Forgive me. Fill me with your spirit. Give me a love for your word. And cause my faith root to go deep in you. If you prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Father, prepare us in these days that we are in to be instruments of you, that when others are falling, when others are compromising, when others are bending and bowing the knee, that we will stand. And we will stand to the end. Thank you for your faithfulness to accomplish that in every one of our lives. And we give you glory for it. Would you stand with me this morning and receive the blessing of the Lord in your life? As I release the blessing, the Bible says that the name of God is being put on you in order for him to bless you. So the Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. And in these days, fill you full of his peace and an awareness of his presence in you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and everybody receiving said, amen. God bless you, church. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next Sunday.